Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There are programs available on Micronip. You can load directly down the phone line. Some of them are free, some of them you do have to pay for.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
It's Ben Vanell here, fresh from looking at our YouTube channel and seeing the thumbnail for our new video, our first part of our playthrough of The Quarry.
And okay.
Another man who likes to kill teenagers in the woods. It's Adam Knox.
That's me. What's The Quarry about? I have not been looking at our YouTube. How's that thumbnail looking?
It looks beautiful.
Wow.
It's that guy from Righteous Gemstones.
John Goodman.
Yep, and he's in a video game at last.
Finally, the Roseanne video game we've all been waiting
okay.
for.
They
made a home improvement video game for the SNES and stuff. So there's probably somewhere a prototype of a Roseanne video game that was just like a platformer where you're jumping over, you know, your sister and all of that.
sure. Dan!
Second Becky comes for you.
In 8-bit sound.
Man. It would be great if that tradition had continued and there were just like, for some reason there was like a weird contractual thing where every new sitcom that's ever been made has had to have a video game adaptation. So just like a Big Bang Theory game where you're like Donkey Kong Country style having to collect the letters B-A-Z-I-N-G-A in every level would be fucking awesome.
Make it even more than that. Like that would mean that the audio clip for the word Bazinga was played too irregularly. For me, just every time Sheldon jumps on a, turtle.
Mm.
Bazinga! Bazinga!
Bazinga!
Yeah.
Bazinga! Bazinga! Mm-hmm.
Chuck a laugh track under every time you move slightly to the right as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. They should remaster the home improvement video game and like really all they've done, they keep the visuals, but all they've done is just finally there's the technology to have a laugh track playing through the entire game. That would be so maddening to play, and I would be there for it on day one.
Well, someone made that Skyrim mod, right? It was Skyrim that's home improvement, and every sound effect is home improvement.
There was a Doom one as well, and I think Left 4 Dead. There's been a few things where, like, there was a Doom one where they replaced every texture with Tim Allen's face.
Right.
And every sound was, So people have definitely messed around with that, but I can't recall to mind easily a game that has had a laugh track ever. It must have happened.
We played that Riff Tracks game for our YouTube channel. Mm. Were there kind of like laughs in that at the end of the round?
I don't think so.
We laughed at each
that's
other.
That's rough.
And we supported the bot. The bot was very funny. Yeah, but I don't think there was a laugh track. No.
My memory
a comedy
of
video
it,
game that's like you're on your own, boys.
Yeah.
My memory of it is much like any other time I'm trying to make jokes. It's just like a long echoey reverb that really hammers in that you're alone. That's how I remember it. I don't know.
Clinking
if
of like a fork and knife on a plate, someone and crickets. Yeah.
I'm having a look here. There's an article on MTV.com from 2009 that says the Scooby-Doo game has laugh track.
Ooh.
So
what Scooby-Doo game came out in 2009?
Yeah.
That first and it's not the even... first movie they did?
No, I that would have so. Been 2001.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because also this, the headline of this article, it's literally Scooby-Doo game has laugh track. Like there's a question mark at the end of it. So they're not even, they've written an article about something that they don't even really seem to know anything
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm looking at the Wikipedia for Scooby-Doo First Frights.
Hey, and I'm looking at the Let's Play of it.
So get a load of this. Scooby-Doo First Frights is a platform video game developed by Taurus Games and published by Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. This is the one from 2009. The game tied in with a DVD release of Scooby-Doo The Mystery Begins. This is the fourth Scooby-Doo game to use a laugh track.
Whoa.
Wow. All right. Boys, we got to do one of these games for the YouTube channel.
Why don't we do all four of them? We got a series here.
Oh, you people in the studio audience for this video game thought it was funny before? We'll wait until three cunts start riffing over the top of it.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right. Well, I guess after we finish The Quarry in 2 months, we'll go back to this.
Do all four Scooby-Doo games.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fuck.
The fourth.
Yeah. Scooby-Doo, Night of 100 Frights, Mystery Mayhem, First Frights. There must be one before that because... Scooby-Doo Unmasked?
I guess First Frights is a prequel because they've got like little kid right. Scooby-Doo characters on here.
Oh, okay.
I ain't
okay,
talking Scrappy either. I'm talking the classic Scooby-Doers.
But Young Shaggy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to see a Young Shaggy, Young Sheldon crossover.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Zoinks, bazinga. Zoinks, bazinga.
Yeah. Bazoinksa.
Sheldon trying to, like, use science to explain how Scooby's talking.
Mm.
And it's just like, shut up, Sheldon. It's just a talking dog. Just
shut up and eat your Scooby snack.
This dog has better social skills than you, Sheldon.
Yeah, I don't know what's weirder, the fact that there's four Scooby-Doo games that have a laugh track or the fact that those are the only games ever to have a laugh. Like, no other developer has seen that and gone, yeah, that could work for our idea too.
Hey, it's not even every Scooby game. There's Scooby games from 2006 to 2001, 99. There's heaps of Scooby-Doo games and it's just these four in a row, it looks like, that had the laugh track.
This is crazy.
This is great. What platforms are they on?
This the young one was on like the Wii. We'll figure them out. Right. I genuinely want to have a look at these one day.
Yeah, we've got to do it for sure.
There's a PS2 one. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Doing like the like the Game Boy Color adaptation of it, and it's just like laugh track, but it's just like so digital. Like it just sounds like waves crashing through the, like Game
it just
Boy
sounds
Color
like a Pokemon.
Speaking of sounding like Pokemon, you all sound like Pokemon to me coming through these little laptop speakers because you sound all digital. We're all in different places because Tommy's in Perth. Just I'm flagging it so that people know that if we're talking over each other, it's not a lack of respect generally. It may be in some instances.
Sometimes, but not every time.
Well, it's hard for me because I'm in Perth where there's a 2-hour time difference. So it's hard not to talk it because I'm hearing you guys are speaking and then 2 hours later I'm hearing it. So I'm just completely, I'm just on my own here. Guys, why aren't you laughing?
Is Tommy disconnected or?
We're trying to leave gaps and laugh at the, appropriate moments in the hopes that he will, be able to think on the fly quickly enough.
Yeah, but whenever we think Tommy will jump in with something to say, we leave a big gap. So anyway, what's it like being incredibly stupid? Do any of us have anything to say about that? Leave a little
I'm
gap
getting the sense 2 hours later that there's an opportunity for me to speak here, so I'm just going to start. I've been playing the Portal Companion on the Nintendo Switch.
Yep, he proved it. He's a
good He walked right into it. Oh, my God.
Mate, you don't realize this, but you just admitted you're incredibly stupid. Fuck, that's fucking shit, dude.
I saw something pretty awesomely... video games related on the flight on the way over here. This was 5-hour flight Melbourne to Perth. So these were the people I was surrounded by. Guy across from me on the aisle, older gentleman, he gets on 4 newspapers.
Four
newspapers, and he reads them all cover to cover.
Now
that's his entertainment for the flight. All 4 of the newspapers.
It's been a while since I've kept up with print news. I'll lay that out there. But back in my day, when I was looking at newspapers, generally they would be reporting on the same news.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I like. You know, you'd have to imagine there's huge crossover in stories, but just feeling like you've got to get an overall impression. You got to get an idea of how all the different press are sort of covering this one same event.
Oh, this one reckons it's the left's fault. Oh, this one reckons it's the left's fault. Oh, this one reckons it's the left's fault.
For the international listeners, it's we have one newspaper that is right wing, and then we have another one that is extremely right wing, that's it. I don't know how he got four.
Our newspapers are like a bird going in circles. Just all right wings.
All right wings.
Yes, yes, yes,
all right wings.
Where's the laugh track? Him.
So that's him just reading print news for the entire flight to Perth.
How long did it take him to clock them? Because 5 hours is... I don't know. That either feels like too much time or not enough. Like, I would have thought one newspaper... And you, like, have coffee and you stop and think about an article every now and then. That's probably enough for a flight.
I will say he had a little nap in the middle.
Beautiful.
Just a little recharge.
Okay.
Give the eyes a rest.
Forget.
Working overtime on this flight.
Because he was sitting there going, like, fuck, these newspapers are boring. Why am I the same four thing
four times?
fuck. So that's him. And then lady sitting behind me playing.
You were having a squiz behind you.
Yeah,
well, I went to the bathroom at one point.
A bunch of other people on this flight or on podcast being like, get a load of this guy sitting on the plane. To the left of me, there's fucking Sticky Beak looking around, peeking at what everyone's doing.
Yes. Little beer cat over here.
Yeah, I had my little got my mirror out and just used
periscope.
It to covertly look behind me.
Nice.
She was sitting there playing a Game Boy Advance.
Nice.
Which I thought was as... And having a tough time of it too, because there's no backlight on that screen.
Oh, right.
And there's like the,
so she was
the amount of environment.
Like the wide format original Game Boy Advance.
The classic. Yeah, the solid purple, like the very first model that came out.
A real connoisseur.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I turn my head to the right, I'm looking at one of them. but it's got a backlit screen thanks to a little modification.
Okay.
Exhibit came round and added it and a DVD player.
Well, she also, I could tell this from the fact that it was fucking jutting out like nobody's business, playing a Game Boy Color game on it.
Oh, nice.
So going like double. I mean, I thought the guy reading the newspapers was retro, but this gave him a run for his money.
The number of jokes about people saying like Perth is 2 hours behind and then another 20 years.
Yeah.
The fact that these people...
Wait, but you flew you flew Jetstar, didn't you?
No, I flew Virgin.
Even still, it's not a... I think you've got to pay extra for the backlit screen and the Game Boy Advance games. I don't think they come as part of the base package on Virgin.
Sure.
It's not a Qantas, you get those luxuries as part of your ticket, but yeah.
I really respected it, just getting on and having some old school entertainment. Like, I'm there watching
you sitting there as well, being like, wow, a Game Boy Advance. Ha, huh, crazy. Time to whip out my Game Gear Mini.
But you're the ultimate retro. You're just looking around. That's the ultimate in prehistoric entertainment. You're just looking at
people.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah, I'm counting my fingers for the entire flight.
Yeah.
No, I was sitting there on my iPad watching an episode of Better Call Saul that was like, had been up for like 8 hours or something. So I felt like a true, I felt like a zoomer. Just like, I can't, it's like, I've got to be too hot off the presses.
Mm-hmm. And you're zooming around in a plane.
Like, absolutely.
So,
Well, maybe this is kind of related to zoomers in that.
Yeah.
It is, I'm trying to think of a link just to talk about a news story, but the only one I can think of I don't agree with. But anyway, zoomers aren't horny.
The kind of news story that might have been in the newspaper.
Sure, yeah. And zoomers actually are very horny. Zoomers love OnlyFans and shit, and you can get the... But a lot of people, older people, they're less horny.
They're still puritanical, aren't they? They're still very conservative, like our newspapers are.
If you're looking forward to playing Bayonetta 3, which is surprisingly coming out this year on October 28th.
Yeah.
That got announced, I think, yesterday, which
what
is
other,
like...
There's another other October releases, right?
There's a few, like... Because God of War is now November. October has... it comes out the same day as the new Call of Duty. There's
right.
that Plague Tale, there's Mario and Rabbids, there's Scorn, right. there's High on Life, that Justin Roiland thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, there's. I think I was thinking of Mario and Rabbids, but there's a shit ton in October, that's it.
There's a bunch of stuff coming out for the rest of the year. Now, they've got Nintendo itself now has Splatoon, Mario, Bayonetta, and Pokemon all coming out within a few months of each other there. So,
yeah.
That is that the Bayonetta especially surprised me given the small amount that we saw of it when it was announced and then like the you know relative silence that there's been about it. But Bayonetta 3 will come out. Looks good. It's running well in this trailer, which is good to see being a Switch game and everything. And also they've got this new mode that will de-sexify the game called a Naive Angel mode where basically...
That's.
I just love that the term for making it less porno is like such a like a. It's so a search term on Pornhub for sure.
Oh sure, yeah.
Naive angel gets plowed by stepmom. You know,
it's very funny to be like, you don't want the game to be needlessly sexy. Okay, baby. Like the game is ludicrous, and the way that it's just like. Yeah, during the transformations into being a big dragon, we'll show you Bayonetta's vagina. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like so childish in some ways. And then to even take that further and be like, and if you don't like it, you're childish. It's very funny.
I mean, it's neat that it's in there so you can like, you know, play it if you've got kids around and not worry that you're having like porno on the TV. But it's almost like, you know, the whole, like we talk a lot about Kojima with his like dodgy stuff that's in his games, but he's like, no, she has to be dressed like that because that's how she breathes. Mm-hmm. It's like you sort of have to go, all right, well, you know, you've got your reasons, but with this, it's like, okay, so it doesn't have to be in there. Like you're admitting that it very easily could just not be in there and be the same game.
But the way they're doing it, like Nintendo put out like Bayonetta's back on October 28th or something. That was their one. And the way that Platinum Games wrote it in their announcement was like, relax, the witch is back and sexier than ever. Something like that. So it really does seem as though they're going like, don't worry, everybody. Her titties are still going to be bouncing around.
Yeah.
We haven't let them get to us. So it, I don't know. It has a weird kind of vibe. But I also think that whatever, that's always been the vibe of those games is like this playful... like horniness that
I wonder it would be interesting to have a female take on this because I've seen people justify it as like and it may well be justified. I'm not overly familiar with the franchise. I've played it like a bit of two and really enjoyed it, but is it empowering? Is it meant to be like a funny, you know, like female focused sexual without being exploitative thing? You know, she's the main character, she is the protagonist. And she's powerful and she's, this is who she is. Or is that a cop-out? I don't know. I don't think I have the, you know, the background information to make that judgment.
I haven't played these first two either. So also, don't have, I kind of intend to now, because I'd like to play the third one, but it's always come across
really...
as joke sexy rather than like for sexy.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I reckon definitely, go in on at the very least, the second one in advance of 3 coming out. If you've never played them, they're fucking great games. They're so much fun. And my read on the nudity stuff in it has been, it's so brief. It's just literally like when she's transforming, it's like a 3-second thing where like I've barely even noticed it when I've played. It's so fleeting. It's like a little transformation animation thing. So it's not like in my memory of my experience with it, she's not just like straight up walking around in the nude. Like it is very brief. It's definitely there because people comment on it, but it's not like a huge part of it.
I didn't know that there was actual nudity, to be honest. Like I knew it was sexualized and it was, you know, revealing, but in what I played of 2, I didn't see like literal nudity. So
I don't think you're getting like, you know, the fucking 3% of the body where people then at some point go, now it's nudity. But like,
right.
Yeah.
I don't think you're looking at that, but it doesn't seem exceptionally like male gazey nudity where it makes you go like, oh, but I don't know. Again, got to go in and play them. It's also going to be very funny to play Bayonetta 3 and actively choose like, no, give me horny mode.
That's true.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hope the naive angel mode is something that you have to like seek out in the menu. I really don't want to like first time you boot it up, like adjust the brightness and then it's like adjust how much tits you want to see.
Yeah.
It should be paid. Move this slider down. DLC.
This slider has to go until you can just barely see nipple and then your HDR is set right. You're horny degenerate. And
yeah, keep sliding until you're half mongrel and then hit A.
Yeah.
Fully titillated. Just I mean, like you 80% don't see, of the way there.
You very rarely see like actually sexy video games. Like there's always been those really exploitative ones and really juvenile. But you don't see, it's rare to see... Yeah, like actually adult, mature nudity or sexual themes in video games.
Yeah.
Like you get so much violence. Like I've seen, you know, apparently what it looks like to rip someone's head in half or, you know, all those Mortal Kombat things where it's like, we modeled this on corpses, you know. It's just such a weird...
I think...
Probably speaks to the culture of... the countries that dominate video game development, like America is so puritanical still, and Japan has a wholly different relationship with sex and nudity, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird that we're trying to be like movies, as in we're trying to be like art, but that's still beyond, feels like video games.
Mm.
The only convincing, like sort of, I guess, cinematic style depiction of sex that I've seen that I can remember in games is Last of Us 2. That has the only like well animated kiss that I can recall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
An actual sex scene in it that is there for as justifiable reason as a sex scene would be in a movie, you know, like,
yes.
So
to get you horny and get your rocks off.
To wear out that section of the tape before you give it back to Blockbuster.
But that's very true. I do agree with that. That's probably the one example.
I bet if we Googled what are the sexy video games, we would find from a certain section of the internet the same response as our Googling of
Sonic,
which is the
1
game that has a laugh
Sonic
track
2,
in it.
Sonic Adventure, Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah.
Well, I've been weirdly... Speaking of, I've been playing, so for whatever reason, I started playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 and then Tony Hawk's Underground after that.
So these have never been re-released, right? These are just...
Yeah, these are on the PS2. They were going to do a 3 and 4 remake after 1 and 2, but they got moved on to doing, I think, like support for Call of Duty or something. So they're not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. But, boy, those games are really of their time. They're 20 years old now, and it's just that thing where they're still very fun and, like, the sort of, you know, like with those 1 and 2 remasters where it's that type of, like, arcadey, action-y game that you don't necessarily see in the same way these days. And it's fun in a throwback way of that way. But, yeah, fuck, man. Like, going back to the kind of humor you had in 2002 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bam Margera is at his height right now. So a lot
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of what's going on in those games is people being like, you suck, blah, or like, hey, do a kickflip over these bikini girls, and just stuff like that. But the games are still fun.
I mean, is it 2 or 1 where you... I think it's 1 where you ollie the bums.
Yeah, right? And you're still doing it in 4 and in Underground, and there's plenty of stuff. Like, there's a... Hawaii level in Underground that has just some pretty dodgy stuff going on to my eyes.
Okay.
And my eyes, they see everything.
Are we talking like stolen VCRs getting sold or like...
No, dodgy, not dodgy in the way of like, hey, do you have the rights to sell this DVD?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this
like,
a genuine...
As in like physically dodging?
As in, Dark Souls style, you're rolling around. That's what I'm...
Oh, cool. Okay. It's weird that you're against that, but hey, you know.
I just think you should take your problems head on.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But those games are still fun, and just revisiting them did make me a little more disappointed again that, 3 and 4, remaster, remake, whatever, won't probably happen.
You got to play Olly Olly World.
I do have to play Olly Olly
World.
It's
fucking
great.
It's like my number two game of the year.
But what if I could travel 20 years into the past at the same time?
I'd change
a flight to Perth.
I'd take the opportunity to change a lot of decisions I made.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'd play more Tony Hawk Underground.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've been dipping in on a game that is very of its time. The Klonoa remake that is out on everything currently.
Mm.
Remake of two PS1 games. I think they were both on the PS1. They've had a complete overhaul with the visuals. They look great, but they are essentially, they're mechanically, they're exactly the same games underneath the fresh coat of paint that they were when they came out. I think the first one's 97, maybe? So they're pretty old games. I never played them back in the day. I always liked the look of them. So it's kind of right up my alley. Very, bright, colourful 2D platformer. Just bonkers storyline about, I don't know, starts with a very like Square Enix style like little poem about what does it mean to be in a dream? Am I dream? You know, like a
great.
Just a screen with like a drop of water going into a pond, and then there's just like really over the top poem about dreaming. It's like,
fuck,
have I booted up the right game? Like, what am I playing?
You're playing a Japanese action game.
I certainly am, and it's taken a little bit to gel with me. I think I was expecting it to be like a bit more of a. It's kind of more in the style of like a Kirby. It's more about like exploration and finding different little pathways and collectibles and stuff than it is about actual platforming challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You're running around, you've got like the point of difference, because it is really that era where it's like every company is looking for their, you know, their Mario, their Sonic, like it's very, you know, mascot era. Mm-hmm. You've got a little attack. The way that you attack enemies is you hit them with this little gun that you've got, and then you grab them, and you can either throw them at another enemy to knock them out or to, like, you know, knock over obstacles, or you can use them to get an extra jump, like a double jump in the air. So there's a lot of, like, looking for where enemies are and then working out what you need to use that enemy for in order to, like, solve a mild little puzzle, and lots of branching pathways. Very cute. Music's kind of annoying. There's little cutscenes that have bits of voiceover that's just in gibberish, I think. But it's funny because it's like they haven't... I think they've upscaled the music, but they haven't upscaled the compressed voices from back in the day.
Oh.
So they sound really fucked up and ghoulish, which I kind of like. Well, like there's any...
That first one came out on the PS1, but then was remade on the Wii in 2008.
Right.
And that's what this one is based off of. And then the second one was a PS2 game. So they're probably not as remade maybe as it would look like if you were thinking both were like a PS1 game initially. So that could explain why the audio is maybe still...
Mm.
Yeah, and I don't really mind the effect of it. They're fun. They're sort of starting to... wash over me, but they definitely, it feels like they are very of their time, and they're not like they haven't really changed how they play at all, is my understanding. So there are bits where you feel like, yep, this is a game from 1997, all right. Like, I kind of wish that they had, you know, it would have been great if they had have tweaked it a little bit more to make it a bit more modern. But yeah, I think definitely if you played them back in the day, if you have any kind of fondness for them, then this would be a definite must buy. Anyone else, there is a demo of them at least on the Switch eShop, which I imagine is probably the demo is on Steam as well, maybe, and other things, but certainly it's on the Switch eShop. It's if you've not played them before, it probably is worth erring on the side of caution. Try the demo to see if they're up your alley, but I'm overall enjoying them enough. But they, yeah, they are, they don't, I don't think they stand the test of time very well at all. Unlike the Portal games, which I've been playing more and more of in the last few days.
Hell yeah.
Having a great time with. It feels like a new game. It doesn't feel like it's dated at all. There's nothing about it really that feels, that shows its age.
That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, those games were both great when they came out, and it does make sense that, you know, a puzzle game can hold up a little more than something more mechanics-based. But, I mean, not that they're not mechanical, as in there's physics and you flying around and jumping about and doing whatever.
Yeah. I think also, like, I just had a look at the, I guess, probably the PS4 version of Klonoa, this remaster, and it looks old.
Yeah.
Like, stylistically. And I think that, obviously, Portal has such a strong aesthetic that it's, I imagine that being pretty evergreen on top of how creative and groundbreaking it was for, you know, a first-person puzzle game.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Klonoa, I'm enjoying playing it as kind of like a, you know, a bit of a history thing of like, I remember seeing this around at the time and like wanting to play it but not having the console that it was on, and, you know, just feeling like I'm kind of finally sort of fulfilling that
scratching that itch.
Want that I had, back in the day. Whereas Portal, it's like I'm just enjoying playing a fun game. Like, I'm not, like Klonoa, I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm taking a little dip into what kind of games were like in 1997. And Portal, at no point am I having to remind myself, like, there's no bits of it that are like, fuck, this is a bit annoying. Other than the fact that you move around a little slowly at times, especially when you're kind of having to backtrack a little bit. But that's, I mean, that's by the by. That's not a big deal at all.
With Portal 2, I think it was only in Portal 2 that there was like a community level downloader hub thing built into the game. You could you know, make your own levels and share them. Is that still in this version? And is the co-op thing still in there, or what, is it just the single player?
I don't know. I'm just playing through one at the moment. I'm just trying to do them sequentially, so I haven't dipped into two yet. I'm kind of just up to the bit where it's like the start of it is you kind of set up like you're testing this gun out. You're in this like testing chamber kind of thing, and it's very like segmented of like, now you're moving on to the next little test area.
Yeah.
And then eventually that breaks down and you're like escaping from the test area. So I'm kind of in that bit now where it's like kind of revealing like, oh, right, this, I just thought it was just going to be that for the entire game. And it's like, oh, cool. This is a neat little flip.
Yeah, great, man. Do you getting on this flight and seeing these newspapers and the Game Boy Advances and stuff and now playing Portal? Like, if our podcast has to be us, like, going through you discovering, like, old memes and telling us the cake is a lie and shit for a few episodes?
I'm just reading
inspired
here
on
the Nintendo website. It says, Portal 2 includes a cooperative game mode with local split screen and online multiplayer. So, and the wiki says it has 14 bonus chambers as seen in Portal Still Alive. So I don't know if it has the like community marketplace thing. I imagine that's probably not still
probably
active,
not, yeah.
But it sounds like it has everything else, which is great. I don't think I've even played all that stuff. I've literally just played the two single player campaigns, which are amongst the best of all time.
Loving it. And if you're like me, if you missed it, get in.
I can tell you who's amongst the best of all time in terms of advertising sponsors that support our show and support our listeners getting themselves great products. Whichever one we want to start with.
I was going to start with NordVPN because I don't think we ever have. NordVPN, once again sponsoring the show, very dedicated supporters of Filthy Casuals. NordVPN. It's literally the best and most reliable VPN provider on the internet. Knox and I have been just clients for years now, where we get a freebie, but I've literally paid for it for like 3 or 4 years before they became
a sponsor.
I'm still
paying for it. I got.
They may have tacked the free bit on the end of my existing plan, but it's a VPN service. It's really, really helpful if you want to browse the internet privately, which in countries like Australia, I believe the government is allowed to just view your browsing history at any point, regardless of you being, you know, dodgy, like the game where you dodged.
Yeah.
So you can just have a basic level of privacy by using NordVPN. You can also have a bit of security if you like use a lot of passwords, if you use online banking, if you, I don't know, an artist who has a bunch of shit in Dropbox that you don't want anyone to be able to, you know, like just accessing the internet through a VPN provides a lot of protection.
Put
and
your,
on top of that,
set your internet onto naive angel mode.
That's right. That's right. Actually, I don't believe it has that, Knox. I think it has the opposite, if anything. But if you want to flip it onto naive British angel mode, you can play Bayonetta and she'll be bloody
naive
chaff.
Angel Islington.
Yeah. but you can jump on, you can like switch it onto to the UK and watch This Time with Alan Partridge on the BBC.
Great show.
Chuck it on at the ABC and watch our archive of Louis Theroux documentaries. Or chuck it on to the US and watch, I think, Twin Peaks on Netflix America. Any, like, you can flip around and watch a bunch of different stuff in different locations. It's super easy to use. It's very reliable. They offer a 30-day money-back guarantee if, for whatever reason, you don't like it. And if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy or use the code filthy anywhere on their website, you get a massive discount, you get a free month, you get some other bonuses. And why wouldn't you do that? That's my question to you, honestly. Why wouldn't you do that?
What possible reason could you have?
I can't think of one. So thank you to NordVPN for sponsoring the show.
The reason I might not do that is because my hands can't type it in accurately enough on the keyboard, because unfortunately spilling over from my lap onto the keyboard on my desk is a huge amount of unnecessary pubic hair.
I've switched my penis
onto naive angel mode so that nobody can see it. That's by having a really unsightly and unhygienic amount of body hair covering me up as though it were clothes, much like how Bayonetta's hair, I believe, turns into clothes, and that's why it is.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Okay, you're man Bayonetta, but you don't want to be.
I've never called myself Man Bayonetta.
Man Bayonetta.
But I'll
Michael Bayonetta.
But yeah, a way that I could deal with that, or a way that you could take Bayonetta's powers away from her, is by using the products available to you through Manscaped.
Yes, take control of that giant bush. Their products are so good, you're going to be showing pride in your new bush-free front yard. It's a fact that you'll have the best kept nutsack on the cul-de-sac.
Right.
Rhymed sack with sack.
Yeah.
That's all right. Save big and be the most hygienic version of yourself by using our discount code FILTHY for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That was a nice tight little bit of copy there from Manscaped.
Yeah.
There's a bit more waffling, which you want to cover
up business
with your pubic. No. They got down to business. Whether you're looking to go bald like an eagle, or in need of a safe trim, Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game. What more
great
is there
product
to say about Manscaped that we haven't said previously?
We've said it previously. They're very, very good. And if you're looking for a product that does this thing, Manscaped are great. And you use the code FILTHY and you get 20% off and you get free shipping.
Here's something that we've never said before, and it's part of the copy. It's one of the bullet points. Kate Bush may be trending at the moment, but your bush needs some help.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Would be awesome
if you want to make it easier
for
someone to go near your genitals and give them a Metallica, could use Manscaped.
Yep. So go running up that hill and buy a trimmer.
It would be sick if they had ads for Manscaped in the middle of Bayonetta 3, now that I think about it. I could see them doing that. They're very, you know, they're pretty forward thinking with their advertising. They're getting in with podcasts. They got Pete Davidson advertising them now. Next step, Bayonetta. Hitting up Platinum Games and being like, what do you think, boys? Get the Lawnmower 4.0 in there as like one of the big villains that Bayonetta has to take on, because you know, it's going to shave off all her hair. She'll lose all her powers.
I don't want to position them as the villain.
Yeah, true. True.
I can't see that. But if there's some way for them to work together, maybe there's an evil Bayonetta that needs to be trimmed.
There you go. There you go.
The evil twin.
Okay. Speaking of evil twins, because they're sort of like, you know, like a copy that is generally doing things that are illegal.
Okay.
A game that is simulating downloading illegal copies of games.
Oh, yes.
The last video game being released by a company called Zachtronics, who have made a number of games, I think none of which I've played, but I think they've all been quite well received and are of a similar vein to this one called Last Call BBS. It's free on Game Pass, and it's available also on Steam and stuff. It's just a PC game, I believe. And it is like a fake little early 90s computer that you're dialing into this BBS server, to all fake, and downloading these pretend games that are so well done in the style of that early 90s PC game. There's, I think, six of them, and it's just a really nice, fun little package, I guess, with each of these six games being quite different from one another, but all pretty much using like relatively complex logic puzzles is what you're doing in all of these games.
Yes, yeah. And it can't be emphasized enough how good the presentation is. I love that desktop. It's very Windows 3.1-ish.
Yeah.
There's like, you know, just a solitaire game on the desktop of it as well. You're dialing in, like you said, like it feels really era, not like spot on, but it's a great representation or reproduction of it as someone who, was like doing this stuff or trying to do this stuff in the 90s.
And it's one of those, they call it a Z5 Powerlance. And I think the thing is, you've got like this little PDA that I think your brother or a friend or something is sending you little messages on. Telling you sort of the pretend history of these old games and this old computer. And it's like nice writing that has these cute little era reminiscent stories that are very nostalgic and really well done. And yeah, it's in the style of like an Acorn or a ZX Spectrum or like a MSX or one of those when there were just a ton of different types of computers around. And yeah, it just looks so nice, sounds exactly right. All of these games, like, you download them and it makes you sit there and wait for, you know,
like 3 minutes.
Just to have this, like, dial-up modem download it from this server in Kansas that you've dialed a phone number to.
And, like, you hear the hard drive like you used to in, like, Pentium 2s and stuff. They're like, as it's loading stuff up or downloading things.
You can turn on like a nice little curved monitor filter thing to make it's just all so thoughtfully done and really effective. And then once you eventually download, and it's not like, you know, it'll download for the 3 minutes and give you something to do. It's literally like, no, this is what computers used to do. So go make a coffee or whatever. And then you get these the pretty different games that are like the best one to me so far is this one called fucking restaurant something. Food court something.
Century Food Court.
Yes. And it's kind of like Job Simulator, where it's like made as though it were this future civilization recreating the experience of making food back in the 20th century, pretending that it's the future.
Yep.
And it's presented, as all the games are, with very little instruction. And it sort of gives you the feeling, because you're like pirating these games off of this fake internet.
Yeah.
So
it's like it's like someone's made a torrent, or kind of like it's vaguely that sort of thing of like, hey, there's like four games in this. If you want to download them, here they are. And it's presented through this retro way.
One of the old BBS servers back in the day. And it's like you don't have the manual for it, which would have been a key part of it back in the day. So you're
the readme is in Russian or whatever.
Totally.
Yeah.
And with this one, you're like putting wires between different components of this like logic board to create a conveyor belt sort of series of interactions that will lead to ice cream getting made or
right. It's kind of like, right, what was that game? Factorio?
Yeah.
Like roughly that kind of thing. Basically building, a working conveyor belt thing maker.
Totally. And the puzzle is you having to program logic into this thing, which is like pretty complex and difficult to figure out at times, but is so satisfying and really fun.
Yeah.
The presentation goes a long way towards that because, yeah, these are all logic puzzle games pretty much.
Right. I've only played that one, and I've played the Dungeons and Diagrams,
yeah,
which is like, I've seen that kind of puzzle before. I haven't, like, not recently, and I couldn't pick it out, but that is also perfectly done. It's, I don't know if it's like, because I never did Sudoku, but it's roughly
it's like
kind
a
of that.
Cross.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
It's a bit like Picross, where, yeah, there'll be some monsters laid out on this grid, and the rule is that a monster has to be at the end of a path.
Right.
And you'll be told what number of walls you've got to put in each row.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're all kind of logic puzzles than that, up until you get this other one that is like just a model building simulator that mm-hmm. isn't a puzzle at all. You're just sort of building these Gundams.
Yeah.
There's an arcade tile switching game. There's another version of Solitaire, and then there's this extremely complex but very, very fun, again, logic puzzle game that is presented like it's professional-grade, like, circuit-building software, and you've got to create these circuits in that software, but, like, to a spec that is basically a puzzle. It's just, it's all so well done and so engaging and, like, calm and...
Mm-hmm.
It
feels like
nostalgic.
It's an escape from the internet, even
totally.
Though, and I guess it is, but it's like, it feels like you are back on a computer that is a closed machine, you know,
yes.
where it's like, all right, well, I've got my CD with 101 games on it, and I've got SimCity, and I've got, you know, and I've got these, you know, whatever came on this operating system, and here we go. I've got Ski Free and Minesweeper. Like, these are the Ski Free and Minesweeper of this operating system. And it feels like escapism.
100%. It, like, this form of nostalgia that is presented just a little bit more, I guess, like, thoughtfully than just like, hey, remember your favorite characters? They're being rebooted. It's like this nostalgia
right.
that is so... bittersweet in the way that, like, a lot of the little stories that you'll be getting on this PDA from whoever it is telling you about, like, you know, how he got this game because his friend at work had a friend who had this shop where he had to go, and, like, there's this Japanese version of Solitaire, and he sends you these little messages as you progress through it being like, I know it's, you know, kind of trite or whatever, but I always really liked Japan, and I went over there and I met this girl. And you're getting these really nice little stories on this PDA as a little bit more of a push or a little bit more flavor as you're going through these all kind of unrelated but well-presented logic games that are just so satisfying and peaceful and enjoyable.
Mm.
Really,
yep.
really like it.
Yep, it's sick. It has all the references the nostalgia without it being, and like you said, apart from probably having to watch the thing download, it is still a nicely modern, you know, removing all the sharp edges from you know, trying to emulate or trying to play a game on DOS on your Windows 10 computer. Like, it is a fun and polished version of that. I love all the, like, ASCII art stuff,
yeah.
Which is like, oh yeah, Commander Keen had that little ASCII thing that would show up and then you'd boot into the, you know, like, it really has a lot of that sort of nostalgia stuff spot on that I haven't quite seen in anything else.
There's, before a couple of the games, there's those, like, Hacking Scene intro pages that have, like, some chiptune little song playing, and
yep.
then a little thanks to these, like, forum names down the bottom, and those are
yes.
so fucking well done.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, to specifically not only emulate the feeling of playing an old computer, but playing an old computer with pirated software.
Yep.
Is just like, they've really plugged a little hole that exists in my brain that is...
Yeah,
is...
I guess this is... Because we've talked about sort of like the funny knockoff movies and games you would get, you know, at like your swap meets and stuff.
Yeah.
But getting the... Buying the, you know, like, pirated A drive floppy... Like the 3.5 floppy disk.
Yeah.
Was, I just, it's not something I ever think about, but it is how I would have probably got most of my games pre and in and around Windows, DOS to Windows 3.1. Like,
yeah.
I had heaps of those fucking games where, yeah, every single time it was like, thanks to, you know, Soviet Nukem 69. It's like, okay, what? Thanks, mate. I'm playing Commander Keen 2. Thanks to you.
All of that stuff is so well done. And then, yeah, the games themselves are great little riffs on the type of games you get in that era as well. So hugely recommend going and having a look at that, especially if you've got Game Pass.
Yeah.
Because it's just a really unique and cool thing that it's a shame that they've been saying it's their last game because the main person who makes these has gotten some teaching job, and good for them. And, you know, is just kind of wrapping it up. I'm just looking at a couple of others. Space Cam and Opus Magnum were sort of their, I think, most famous ones before this, where they're similar in that it's like very
Infinity
complex.
Minor? I think I'd heard of Infinity Minor.
Right. Very complex logic-based stuff that like is not straightforward and is not easy, but is really satisfying.
Right. Right.
Yeah, this looks cool. I'm looking at the trailer and it's got like it's done up like it's a fake ad for this little system that it's on.
Yeah.
And they've got like a little model of it in there, and I'm just looking at this wondering how long it is until they make or how popular this game would have to be for them to make an actual replica of it. It so reeks of like a, you know, limited run games awesome. Or I Am 8-Bit doing like the physical release that comes with this little mini screen and keyboard and disk drive. It looks sick.
That would be so cool.
Someone will make it out of Lego or something.
Just use like a Raspberry Pi and 3D print it or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you can illegally download the specs for that over a modern torrenting software.
Oh, man. Yes. And then
steal everything.
Make a Raspberry Pi, put a Raspberry Pi in it and play these games on it.
Yeah. The games themselves, if they were just presented as puzzle games, great.
Yes, and they really are.
All the wrapping on top of it is so well done that you can like smell the fucking heat coming out of the fans of this computer. It's so good.
Yep. Yeah.
So have a look at that if you've got any sort of nostalgia for that kind of era or interest in it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, this sounds sick. This wasn't on my radar at all. I'm going to fire this up when I get home.
Last Call BBS just to...
Yes. It came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, but Game Pass and Steam. A couple of things that we didn't address in the news segment. A couple of trailers dropped in the past few days. Tommy, you were very excited for Kirby's Dream Buffet, a Fall Guys sort of multiplayer competitive version of Kirby.
I mean, yeah, none
is
of
that
us,
what it is?
Yeah, none of us really gelled with Fall Guys at all. No. And it continues to get sort of, seems like its popularity isn't waning at all.
It seems like it's gotten
free to play or something. And
Like a weird second spike recently.
They're doing the Fortnite thing of whacking a lot of other properties in as skins and stuff. And I think people must still be doing it and still snapping them up with their V-Bucks or whatever, their F-Bucks, whatever Fall Guys has.
Yeah, but this looks cool. Like, I get the impression it's going to be free to play, so I don't know. Looks kind of a bit disposable, but yeah, I'm sort of more interested in the aesthetic of this than I am in the aesthetic of Fall Guys. It could be a bit of a laugh.
There
I don't
have been
know.
A ton of these kind of weird, small, sometimes free, sometimes like a dollar Kirby games in particular that are like little Nintendo versions of some popular genre at the time. Like on the 3DS, I remember there were like a ton of little Kirby games that were just these weird little party games or whatever. So this seems to be very much in that vein.
This article says, according to Nintendo, the game will consist of 4 levels, so I would assume it would be free, and the aim is to eat as much food as possible throughout.
I'm in!
So, does sound pretty cool. And, like, you know, that the design of all of those, like, all the little food power-ups in the Kirby games, especially that most recent one, are so cute and enticing and fun, and, yeah, I totally agree with you, Tommy. Like, this aesthetic is much more interesting to me than Fall Guys. Why not?
And there's a conceit to it, the fact that it's not just like, you're just a thing running around. It's like, Kirby's been shrunk and he's fucking rolling around on a big cake. It's like, it's not heaps, but it's like, cool, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's like it says that, as with, I guess Fall Guys is a race. It's a race to the end of each level. But this looks cool. Why not?
Yeah.
Fucking why not?
the other, there were like two, I'm going to say three other things that I reckon are interesting happened recently enough that I think it's warranted to speak about them on this video games podcast that we all co-host.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And these things are video game related.
All three.
Whoa. Okay, that's a pretty good strike rate, if you ask
me. I like those odds.
I'm I'm Don Bradman over here. I'm dead as hell.
I'm Don Draper.
Fictional. One of the developers, Last of Us 2, I thought this was kind of funny that they like came out and said on Twitter, because I think a lot of people, they start with quotes. Robert Morrison is their name. It started quotes. It's just a cash grab. And then writes, actually, it's the most meticulously built and crafted project that I've ever seen or been a part of in my entire career. The highest level of care and attention to detail possible. Like, got annoyed about people talking about The Last of Us Part 1. This is being like a cash grab and an unnecessary remake and stuff. And I don't know, man. Like, I just thought it was kind of the tone of that, of how people are responding to this game being, I think, similar to how I feel about it. Of like, it's pretty weird that it's suddenly coming. You know, it's the gap between when a remake is justified by a company is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure they're doing really great work and they're a great developer who is probably putting all their effort into this. But like, no, every product is for like, I'm sure there's effort being put into this.
Every remake, every remaster. Unless there was something wrong with the original, is a cash grab. Like, the original was the creative expression, if it was in fact, you know, a real artistic vision, and the remake is by definition for money. So you're right, as meticulous and as well done as it may be, as worth it as it may be, in their opinion, it's still, you're right, it's still a product.
All remakes are creatively unnecessary. I would go as far as saying that from my personal point of view is that, like, once something's been done, even if it's not done perfectly, anything that seeks to then iron out the kinks in that thing isn't a creative endeavor. It's like, isn't a new thing, but whatever. It's it looks good.
I can understand this guy's frustration because even the most like cash grab of remakes or remasters is still someone's like stressful job that they're having to go in and do and like miss social engagements because you know what I mean? It's like it still is weighing on you and it still is eating up a part of your life and you're like thinking about it when you're not at work and then you get on internet and it's like, well, this doesn't need to exist. It's like, motherfucker, like, nothing needs to exist.
Yeah,
it's
like, right. But you've got to understand why people might be like, if you've just eaten, if someone's cooked you a delicious meal and you're still full from it, and then they make you the best, most fucking Michelin star-worthy meal after that, immediately, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I really need to eat that. Why'd you bother doing that?
Yeah.
You can't then get mad at them and be like, what?
Yeah. I just ate, and you know that. Like, you were in the room.
You made me that
This isn't like I snuck in a feed on the way here. Like,
yeah, but I'm a chef, and I need to sell people meals.
We've got different pots and pans now, and I can make the cheeseburger differently.
Right. I think I can do it better. But also
it's like you're just cooking this next meal to make money. It's like, I just cooked you the first meal to make money as well. It's all
right,
about
it's my
money.
Job. It's my job. If someone had like, because I just used to be a designer and it was like, a lot of it was like sponsor integration and shit, but it was so stressful. And if someone was like, you just like made that graphic as a cash grab, be like, I've got fucking rent to pay.
Yeah.
Everything's
Everything is a cash grab.
You're only raising those chickens so that you can trade them for grain. Yeah, man. That's how I got the only pastime I have is looking around at other people. The oldest pastime. Until they invent multiple newspapers or a Game Boy Advance, it's all I can do.
No, but it has to just be altruistic.
As with every remake that ever happens, they are both pointless and then completely justified and as valuable as any other thing that exists depending on who you are, you know, like it's yes. Really just not everything has to be for everyone. And this looks like it's a well done remake. But
I will say before we jump to the next thing as well, I've restarted The Last of Us 2 and it's still the best. Like it's visual design, the quality of like the animations, the environment, the textures, the sound design specifically, which I'm sure we talked about at the time, is maybe the best of anything. It stands up, and it's only what, 2 years old, 3 years old?
Two.
In terms of its presentation and technical, you know, sort of backing, nothing's topped it still, and there have been some fantastic games come out. It's worth a replay. We all played it pretty quickly, as did I think a lot of people, because of the spoiler issues and the you know, the stink that was kicked up. People wanted to get to the game and get through it and have an opinion on it, but I'm enjoying just sort of, you know, luxuriating in it and experiencing it at a much slower pace. It's so fucking good.
I'm going to play this remaster of 1 and then play 2 again after it. That's sort of my plan because, bringing 1 up to the standards of 2 is so unnecessary but also cool.
Right.
As most of the things I interact with. and the other... So there's 2 more.
There's 2 more. Fucking hell.
There's 2 more.
It's not a 2 more.
Like prototype alpha version of Skate, the new Skate that they're making leaked and people are playing it, and the developers said, hey, please don't fuck with that. But apparently it's looking good. All accounts of the stuff that they did show deliberately, I forget the name of the developer, but EA showed a little bit of sort of prototype Skate stuff and are like, hey, we're making this Skate game. And apparently it looks all right. And apparently the demo, or the not demo at all, the stolen version that people are playing from like October of 2021 or something is good. So there's a new Skate game coming out. You don't have to replay Tony Hawk 4 or Underground. Yeah. You can play this new Skate game one day. So that's kind of cool.
I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that. Fuck, I actually think there was another thing. What would there have been a closed beta for recently? Some game... The Dino Exoprimal. There was a closed beta for Exoprimal, and people said that it's good. But it was hard to judge if it was good overall, because I think it was PvP only, and it was like 5-on-5. But that game apparently is as sick as it looks, and that's pretty sick.
Well, how about that? The number of little extra news things we wanted to talk about just went up to the same number of little newspapers you want to bring with you on a flight. We're doing a fourth. Because the other brief thing that I just want to mention, because it comes out in September, but a trailer went up with gameplay of that Golem game that they're making that from the beginning seemed like a weird thing to be doing for, you know, the only sort of Lord of the Rings game on the docket to me. It seemed pretty low appeal already, and then it just doesn't look good. The footage
of it. It's a stealth-focused, third-person game.
Uh-huh.
It's being made by Nacon. Who the fuck are Nacon?
Do you mean Akon?
No, there's an N at the start.
Nacon,
like bacon. Nacon, I guess.
Oh, I love bacon. Oh, dude.
The bar wall Nakons at midnight.
Epic Nakon. I don't know. Test Drive Unlimited. Hell Is Us, which is like a multiplayer shooter, I think.
It truly does not look good from this trailer. So that's a shame. I was kind of thinking of playing that, but may not now. So if you don't hear us review that, that's why.
It looks bad. I'm willing to say it's a cash grab. They got the license for Golem, and they thought, "Hey, we can make a quick buck on this."
They couldn't get the rest. Couldn't get the rest of the crew. No, Golem only. We'll give you Golem at a discount.
Yeah, Frodo and Sam, they're extra. I don't know. I'll probably play it especially if it's like, wait, what is it coming out on? Is it coming out on Game Pass? Because they're not. Well,
I have
PC,
no idea.
PlayStation 4, PlayStation. Doesn't look like it. Just looks like it's going to be a normal console and PC release. I don't know. I don't know if I'm paying for this.
Nah. Gollum, we barely knew him before we discounted him.
Yep.
Anyway, that was all. A couple of little extra bits at the end there to just mention.
The last bit of news wrap. Well, yes.
What about all the stuff we're doing, boys?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
We are in the midst of Giant July, our little pledge drive over on Patreon, where we're trying to make it a little bit more sexy over there for you guys to get involved. We're doing extra stuff all month. We've just done.
We're switching off naive angel mode on the Patreon.
We've done a commentary of the Warcraft movie that is up now on the Patreon. You can get on there, get access to that, and fire up the Warcraft movie. It's on Netflix, so it's easy to track down.
I advised one of our lovely patrons, I think it was one of the 400 Matts in the group. He asked, should I watch this first and then watch the watch it with your commentary? Because I've never seen it. Absolutely not. This is not a movie you want to watch more than once. I would almost say you don't have to watch the movie. Just listen to the commentary. But just go in, have a good time. Don't worry about this being spoiled by our commentary. That's
terrible
up. That went up on Sunday.
We made it funny.
Yeah.
Yep. And then this weekend we are doing a live game session on there.
Yes.
We'll be playing along with you folks. We'll be we'll be archiving it too. So if you can't join us in live, you can watch it back. Get in and do it live.
We'll be posting, we'll be finalizing and posting what games we're going to play and have that up on the Patreon soon, probably tomorrow or something, so that you can be ready to join in. There's a lot of stuff going on there. The Patreon's cool, and we really, really appreciate and value the support over there from people who have a look at patreon.com/filthycasualspod. It means well, but go have a look.
We just did a spoiler review of The Boys Season 3 on Nintendo 69 as well. If you're a fan of The Boys, that's something that Nox and I go extremely in-depth on, because it is very interesting what they did with that that season finale. We're always talking about different stuff on that pod, and there's so much shit. You get access to a YouTube video early, a week early, and we're doing The Quarry, and it is fucking good. It is a fun game, like Until Dawn was.
Yeah.
We've recorded a bunch of stuff in advance, and we'll be dropping those week by week. So if you're desperate to see what happens next, you can jump on the Patreon and get it a week early.
Yeah. Get onto all that, filthycasuals.com.au. That's where you can find the links to all the stuff that we're doing. I should say I'm in Perth if you want to come see my solo show, 6:30 Friday night. Right after this drops at the Brisbane Hotel, tommydaslow.com for tickets to that. Love to see some Perth filth in the audience. But we will see you next time. Thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Speaking of nostalgia, here's my attempt at a modem sound. It's not good. It's not a good one.
It was loud, though.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.